This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Well, two more sleeps. But for me, there's only one more because we have Christmas tomorrow. How good is that? I only have to wait. Bruce and Lynn have already had one Christmas and they're ready for their second one. They're excited. So are you ready? Yeah? Konya is so ready. She's ready. That's good. Well, I've been thinking, you know, I put up a small Christmas tree this year because I didn't want to have to fight with my grandchildren about touching it all the time. So we have a small tree up on our buffet there, and I've got out all the annual decorations that I put out for Christmas, and there's one particular little one that I haven't been able to stop staring at since I put it out there. And, you know, we have traditions, right? You know, I've got a knitted nativity scene. Many of you have seen that my mum knitted for us. So that goes in its place. And the little bird that we got off Charlie's grandmother before she passed away, that goes on the branch right near the top of the tree. And there's an order that the decorations have to go in. Iris understands all of this. Her tree is so ordered. So, you know, there's traditions that we have around our decorating the house for Christmas. But there was this one decoration that's quite new, and it's a word, and it's the word joy. And I haven't been able to stop looking at that. I even took a photo of it and put it on Facebook. That's how, so you can go to my Facebook page and see it. That's how it's just captured my attention over the last few weeks, this word joy. And then, of course, it's like when you get a new car or something like that. Once you notice it, you see it everywhere. Joy is actually one of my sister's names. So it's sort of right there in our family. My dad's name was Noel because he was born on Christmas Day, and my sister Joy was born on the 30th, so my mum kept the Christmas theme happening. And it's even on my front door, this word joy. It's right at the top of a Christmas decoration that we have on our front door. It's just everywhere that I've been looking. Every Christmas card I get has got joy written in it. I hope you have a joy-filled Christmas. I hope it's a joyous time. All the songs, Joy to the World, the Christmas carols that I'm hearing joy everywhere. But the problem is, I don't know that I've been feeling it that much. I thought, really, God, is joy in this season that I feel like, even as a church that we've been in and are in, and many of us, I know, just sharing and talking with each other, many of us would say, yeah, it hasn't been so joy-filled. We haven't been feeling the joy, maybe, that we should be feeling or that we know that we can have. So this morning I do want us to have a look at this word joy. There it is. J-O-Y. I don't know whether you sang this chorus, but we used to sing this chorus, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely be. Does anyone know that? Oh, I'm not going to sing it. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. How good is that? Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. So this word joy, you know, we pray, and we do pray for people that they would have health and peace and joy. We know that Jesus came, joy to the world, the Lord has come. We sing that song. So I want us to have a look this morning at what joy really is. And how do we get it? And how do we keep it? And particularly, I want to look at how we can have joy in hard places. When it doesn't feel very happy. And that brings me to my first point I want us to know today, that joy has got nothing to do with happiness. And we confuse the two quite often. The world around about us is seeking happiness. And joy is not the same, especially the joy that we're talking about this morning, especially the joy of the Lord. It's a supernatural joy, and it's very different from happiness. Now, happiness is dependent on happenings. I heard someone say that this week. It's amazing how these little things pop up, isn't it? Happiness is dependent on happenings, things that happen to us. external things that happen to us. They come and go, though, is the problem. You know, we get a new car, that makes us happy for a while. We get a new house, we get new clothes, we get a new job. We get a lot of new things at Christmas. There'll be a lot of new things come into our life this week, and they'll be nice for a while. They'll be nice, but that wears off, doesn't it? They don't keep us happy for long, some things longer than others. New things become old things, and then we want the next new thing to make us happy because we need to get that happiness, that full feeling again. New things become old things, and we see it in the world. We live in such a throwaway culture, right? We see this, we don't like it anymore, so we get rid of it and we get a new one. We don't like it. We want a bigger, better one, the newest thing. You buy something today, it'll be out of date by the time you walk out the shop, especially if it's something technical, right? You buy it, it's out of date. So then we want the new one because, you know, we were happy while we had the newest, best, biggest, brightest thing, but now we want, there's a better one out there. So we're not so happy anymore. And you know what? It even extends to our relationships. Not happy anymore? Get a new one. Get rid of the one you've got. Get a new partner. Get a new wife. Get a new husband. Get a new friend. Your friends aren't making you happy anymore. Get a new one. Because it's all about how you feel and about making us happy. Joy, however, is so different to happiness. Where happiness is dependent on things that happen to us, the external forces, joy is an internal. It's about what's going on the inside. It's about character, and joy is a choice. So I've just got a definition of joy from a book that's written by, it's actually called Choose Joy by Kay Warren. First, I just want to say, you know, in the joy that we're talking about, the joy of the Lord, in the Strong's Concordance, it's defined as cheerfulness. So it certainly has an element of happiness, right? There's cheerfulness, but it's a calm delight. And it's a calm delight in the Lord. And we'll see that as we move on. So I just want you to keep that in your mind, that word calm, calm delight. There's not a lot of calmness. You know, I heard on the news this morning that somebody was killed over KFC. They had an argument at KFC and weapons were brought out, and so someone lost their life over KFC. There's not a lot of calm delight in the world around about us. And we as Christians need to display that so that people can see that it is possible. It is something that we can have in this world right now. So let's just have a look at this definition from Kay Warren. And because I think she puts it quite well. It's the settled assurance. Yes, I put that. The settled assurance that God is in control of every detail in my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. I can see that definition is based on Scripture. God works all things together for good for those who are called, love Him and are called according to His purpose. The settled assurance that God is in control of every detail in my life, and the quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in all things. So we've defined joy, and the joy that I want to talk about this morning and that I want us to look at. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to James 1, please. Because we're going to find out how we get joy, and then we're going to find out how we keep it. So James 1, 2 to 4, and I've got it up here if you haven't got your Bibles, out of the New Living. Dear brothers and sisters, so I'm talking to you this morning, MCF, all of you sitting here. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Is that where we want to, is that what we want in my life? That's in our lives, that's what I want, to be perfect and complete and needing nothing. Joy. So the opportunity to get joy comes from a place that we probably don't expect. It comes from trials and testing and hard places. So my question to you this morning, and you don't need to answer me because I know the answer already. Do you have any trouble in your life right now? You say, where do you want me to start? I know just by our experience and sharing life together that many of you, many of us are going through some trying, testing, difficult places. But church, brothers and sisters, this is an opportunity for us to have great joy. We've been presented with this opportunity. So how do we have joy in the midst of that? When it's hard, when we're not happy, when the external things that are going on around about us seem to be actually working against us everywhere we turn, how do we have joy? How do we have that calm delight that God wants us to display? Well, quite simply, church, we can have joy in the midst of trouble and trials because joy is not dependent on what's happening around about us, but it's dependent on what's happening on the inside of us. And what's happening on the inside of us? The Holy Spirit. That's what's happening on the inside of us. A few weeks ago, we looked at the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I find it so encouraging that God, in my life in particular, does this, you know, without me realizing it, you know, getting us talking about the Holy Spirit and just the progression is the word I'm looking at, the progression that he makes in our life. And here we are today talking about joy and the fact that it's not dependent on what's going on around about us or our circumstances or the happenings, but it's dependent on what's happening on the inside. And God has established it so well in our lives in the last few weeks that it's the Holy Spirit in our life that's making the difference. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, church. The Holy Spirit has come. I'm so glad and happy, joyful and thankful for Christmas and what it means that Jesus came and that was the beginning of the end, really, the beginning of the outworking of God's full plan for us. But I'm glad and grateful and joyful that he came. But I celebrate the fact that he went more in some ways. Because he came and lived and died and was buried and rose again. But it wasn't just that he rose again, it was that he went back to be with the Father and is now seated at his right hand, that the Holy Spirit was able to come. What an amazing gift. So Christmas reminds us of all of that. What an amazing gift. Jesus said, it's far better for you that I go away. If I go back to the Father, then I can give you can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have. That's what we have, church. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit that lives in us. When the Holy Spirit fills you, then joy is a product of that infilling. We've heard this morning a lot about gardens and soil and the things that it produces. Our life is, in some ways, the garden of the Holy Spirit. What's going to grow in this soil? What's going to come out in this season of hard places? Joy. Is that going to be the fruit that's displayed to the world? How is the fruit of joy growing in your life today? I've had to take stock because, to be honest, I haven't been feeling it. I haven't been acknowledging or taking any notice. I think sometimes you, what's that old saying, you don't know what you've got till it's gone? And when you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, it's time to take stock and think, well, why aren't I? What's happening? Why aren't I? So let's look at some of those things. Let's go to John 15, if we can. John 15. Because this is going to, John 15 is going to tell us how we're going to keep the joy of the Lord. John 15, verses 1 to 11 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. When he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, and he prunes the branches, that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So, how do we have and keep joy in trouble or in trials? Abide in the vine is number one. We're going to look at three things this morning. Abide in the vine. Remain in me, or abide. That's what the word abide means, to remain, to stay, to live, to dwell. It's a constant thing all the time. And I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I cannot have the fruit of joy in my life unless I'm in the vine, unless I'm connected to Jesus. He is the vine. We cannot be fruitful unless we remain in Christ. Again, we've looked at that so much this year. Ephesians, when we walked through the book of Ephesians, how many times did we hear the phrase in Christ or united with Christ? This is who God, this is who Jesus is, and this is who you are because you are in Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. If I don't have joy in my life, the first place I need to look is, am I connected to the vine? How is my relationship with Jesus? Have I been talking to him? Have I been spending time with him? Have I been listening to him, communing with him, sharing my life with him? Or have I just been visiting every now and then? Have I been living off past experience? Without my connection, without your connection to the vine, church, there will be no fruit. There will be no joy. We can see it in the world. There's no connection to the vine. There's no true joy. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have any trouble. In fact, the very opposite is the truth. What he does promise is that if we remain connected to the vine, if we have fellowship with him, if we commune with him, we will have joy and our joy will overflow. It won't just be enough for us, it will be enough to spill out. Now, joy doesn't always, we've got to get this picture of what joy looks like. It doesn't always mean I'm going to be dancing and shouting and singing and praising and you know, jumping up and down. And joy can be tears of joy. I've had tears of joy. I remember sitting here this year when things were really quite dark, or it seemed dark in my life. It was a hard place, and just crying uncontrollably. And everyone around me thought, and I understand why they thought that, oh, she's just overwhelmed with all the intensity of what's going on, and she's just feeling really low and really... When I could finally speak with all the blubbering and the tears and the everything else, I had to explain, no, it wasn't that. I was overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Everything that had happened in that service that day, the songs we sang, the prophecies that came, the preaching that day was like God was just, I'm going to cry when I think about it now. It was like he'd opened me up and he was just pouring himself into me. And I was just crying because I thought, how can you be so good to me? When I felt like I'd been faithless or neglectful, he was faithful and he was loving and he was kind. And he just, the tears again, they were tears of joy. So joy can look like this. Joy can be that calm delight when people would look at you and think, what is wrong with you? You should be... why aren't you a mess about what's going on in your life? My mum said that to me this earlier. You know, my mum, when my dad passed away earlier this year, and my mum has said to me quite a few times, Karen, is there something wrong with me? I said, Mum, why? Yeah, there's probably something wrong with you, but that's, what do you mean by that? And she said, because I am sad because I miss your dad. But I just have this, I have this calmness about me that I am pleased for where he is. That is joy, right? Joy can look so, it's not always dance. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is dancing and singing and clapping and cheering. Sometimes it's just sitting in quiet, calm delight in the midst of chaos. And that's what we need to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in our lives. So if you're not feeling joy today, and believe me, I'm speaking to my own heart and my own life, as well as wanting to encourage you in this season. If you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, how's your connection to the vine this morning? Jesus calls us to come. I still have that stuck on the side. I've got the filing cabinet next to where I sit in the morning, and there's all these little sticky notes all over it. And one of them says about Jesus, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. My heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Have you heard him say, come and talk with me? And have you responded, Lord, I'm coming? Sometimes the things that are happening around about us can distract us from our relationship, from that time that we need to spend with God. This is what brings glory to the Father. This is what the world notices. The world doesn't notice that it's not that Christians are somehow protected or excluded from trouble, but it's how we respond right in the middle of that. You know, if God removed us from all trouble or all trial, the world, people around about us would look at us and say, well, no wonder you're okay. You never have to deal with anything. You never have to go through anything. What glory does that bring God? But when we are going through those hard places, those difficult times, and we can have that calm delight, knowing that our God, our Father, will work all things out together for my good. That's going to speak to those around about us. Then they're going to taste the fruit of our life and see that God is good. God is good. Psalm 116:11 says, you, God, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, stop number one. If you're not feeling or experiencing the joy of the Lord, how is your connection to the vine? Have you been in his presence lately? So, number two, how do we have joy in troubled times? We abide in the word. John 15:4, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy, glory to my Father. This brings great glory, I've got joy on the brain, to my Father. It's the promises of God that anchors our soul. It's an anchor for our soul. When all the happenings around about us want to just drag us away and get our attention, we need an anchor that's going to keep us. And it's the promises of God. Abide, dwell in the word. Let the word dwell in you. What is the first thing that comes to mind? Is it the word of God, or is it the trouble that you're going through? Is it a negative thing? Is it the word of God? Let the word of God dwell in us and produce much fruit in our lives. It's the written word becoming the living word in our lives. It's when the written word is alive to us because it's carried us through something. It's a promise that we've held on to. You all know, how many times have you read that one verse 100 times? And then you'll read it and it just jumps out at you, hits you in the face just about, knocks you off your feet. That's the written word becoming the living word in your life. Hebrews 6:18-19 says, so God has given us both his promise and his oath. These are two things. We've looked at this before when we talked about the immutable qualities of God. These are two things that are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. God cannot lie. And the promises of God that we find in here, and then we allow him to put in here, are what anchors our souls and what gives us joy. Scriptures, and you will be able to think of the ones right now that have been an anchor for your soul. Let them come to your mind right now, the ones that God has just imprinted on your heart. Ones like, we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Let his word be alive in you. Let his word feed you. Let his word sustain you and keep you. Jesus' response to the enemy was, it is written. Let the written word become the living word in your life. And for the written word to become the living word in your life, you've got to read it. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance everything pertaining to God. You can't redo something you haven't done in the first place, right? So get it in. And sometimes I look at it as, not every time I read the scriptures does it jump off and knock me out over, but we've got to bank it. It's like a banking. You bank it. You get it in, because that's when it's in those troubled times that you don't have time to go searching for something. And it's in that instant that you need the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance what's in that bank. And then it comes out and it's your hope and your anchor. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you need strength today? I need some strength. I need some strength. I was saying to Bev this morning, I think I just feel tired. And I've had enough sleep. So I'm thinking, okay, God, what's going on here? First, I'm not feeling the joy and I feel like I'm tired and I need some strength. So here's indicator number two in my own life, is the joy of the Lord being my strength. Have I been neglecting the word? I found when I looked at Nehemiah 8, which is where that scripture comes from, Nehemiah 8:12, where it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The context of that verse, and look at it when you go home, it's very interesting. It is where Ezra the priest brings out the word of God to the people. The word had been locked away, and they build a platform for him to stand on, and all the children of Israel. It's an amazing, read it when you go home. The young, the old, the babies, everyone comes. There's a big assembly, everyone comes and they read the word of God out loud. And the priests, the people stood. As soon as the word was being read, the people stood, all the people, and the word was read and then the word was explained to them so that they could understand every passage of the law that they had. And then the people wept because of joy, I believe, the joy of being able to hear the word of the Lord. The people wept, and Nehemiah said to the people, "Don't weep, don't be sad, go and have a festival, go and have a feast, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." How amazing is that? It was the joy that they heard when they heard the word preached and explained and it became alive in their heart. The joy of the Lord was their strength. Scriptures like, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us because loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, not because of, but despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life nor angels nor demons or our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we had no other scripture to take that and meditate on it and repeat it over and over again and let it go into our feed on it, that brings a joy to my heart, a calm delight. And this verse leads us straight into my last point for this morning. How do we have joy in trouble or trial? We remain or abide in his love. Verse 10 of John 15. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This verse says that in all the verses beforehand, 1 through to 10, everything that Jesus said, he said, "I'm telling you these things so that you will have my joy and your joy will overflow." We need to abide in his love. When we obey God, we're choosing joy. God's ways are perfect and he knows exactly the path that we should take. We talked a lot last year. I spent the whole year talking about love last year. God is just building and building and building on what he's teaching and telling us. Remain, abide. If you want your joy to be full and overflowing, then abide in my love. There's another little sticky note that I have prominent position on my little wall there, and it's Psalm 119, verse 143. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. How amazing is that verse? I sometimes feel pressure. I sometimes feel stress, and I sometimes feel like it's just bearing down on me. Do you ever feel that? When that happens, the psalmist says, "I find joy in your commands." So in your word and then in obeying your word. So brothers and sisters. When trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. We've been talking about things growing this morning. I think there's an opportunity here. We've been given on a plate, it feels like, an opportunity, church. How are we going to respond? How are we going to respond? What are we going to let grow in the garden of this church and in our lives? When endurance has had a chance to grow. So, Paul says, James says, let it grow. So let it grow, church. Don't pray. Jesus never prayed for us to be taken out of. What did he pray? He prayed that we would remain. Keep them. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that their faith would remain and that they would be strong and be strong in the joy of the Lord. Let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you have trouble of any kind in your life today, you have been presented with an opportunity. How do you choose to respond today? We have an enemy. We have an enemy whose one desire is to steal our joy. If the enemy is able to steal our joy, it's an indication that we've neglected Jesus, his instructions to abide in the vine, to let his word remain in us and to obey. That's what God's revealed to my heart, Karen. You're not feeling the joy? This is why. Have a look. What's our relationship look like? Is my word feeding you? And are you remaining in my love? So how's your joy meter looking today? Don't walk out of here today thinking that you're going to try to be more joyful. If you're doing that, if you're going to try, then you've missed it. It's not trying, it's abiding. Abide in him, abide in his word, abide in his love, and you will be filled with his joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. He is good and he is good to us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is alive and it's food for us, God. Thank you for your encouragement to our hearts this morning, Lord. Thank you that you are our source. You are the great I am. Everything that we need is in you. And I pray that in this season, individually in our lives and corporately as a family and as your body, that we would choose joy, that we would choose to abide in you, to abide and remain in your word and to abide in your love, and that the fruit of joy would grow tall and strong in our lives, Father God, and that the world around about us would be able to taste of that fruit and see that you are good, and that many souls will be saved and won and born into your kingdom, Father. Be glorified in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.